gonna cut. Are we on? All right. Good morning, everybody. I'm just moaning. You know, it's a great way to start a Wednesday. I've got fucking YouTube. Anyway, that we'll have to edit that out. Otherwise, they won't let us keep it on the channel. Right? They'll blacklist us or something. It's very very sensitive. They're a bunch of like woke Gen Z fuckers who are running. Yeah. And be like, oh no, you can't say horrible things about us first thing in your show, because we will greylist or blacklist you. Instead of actually just like send me an email and say, hey, you got a problem?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd almost like that more. All right, so Kyle Word is here with me this morning. Kyle's a friend of mine, but let me just do the official biog thing. You
oh God, are you really going
what
through?
What do we got? You didn't even give me a biog.
You didn't even, you didn't well even give you know me
any
me.
Kind of biography. Well, okay. I mean, we can start with what you do for a living, which is your WOM thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Word of mouth, word agency.
Yes. Yeah. Word like, of mouth used to be in.
No, but what's your.
Just, it's called WOM Agency. No, now.
Well, that was a cooking thing.
Yeah,
it was like
a, and that's a whole other story. I got a legal letter about the name that it was actually far too similar to by word of mouth.
Oh, you know, I'm. Currently listening to the lawyers, they're complaining about some abbreviation we use here that someone else is using. And I'll tell you what, these lawyers, I love you, Marlon, but okay. The lawyers, they're the only ones who make money out of all of this.
Of course.
Right? And the rest of us are like fighting over a title or a name or a logo or the similarity between a trademark and...
Never mind how long it takes to get a trademark done.
Yeah, exactly. It takes you forever. You've got to register the damn thing, and then it's like 3 years later you get your...
It has to be put to the public to make sure nobody actually objects to it.
And the reality is like the consumer, the average person on the street doesn't even know that there's another one?
Exactly.
You know, like you could call your company Pepsi.
Yeah.
Pepsi Productions, for example. And you could probably... Never create any confusion with anyone except the dumbest people.
Yeah, yeah.
But someone there would go like, someone at Pepsi would
of
be
course.
Like, we got to nail them.
Yeah.
We got to hit them
Let's
hard.
Let's see how
right
much
where it
money
hurts.
We could do or how we can close them.
Exactly.
Take them for all they got.
And then they unleash the lawyers, you know. But
needless to say.
So tell me about WOM, though.
Yeah.
No, let's not get distracted by lawyers.
It's law, yeah.
No, let's not get into the lawyers. Let them win again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we did win. Against them, which was good at
the
very
well
least.
Done. I love
but,
a win.
Yes, yeah.
Winning so much. You're going to have so much winning. It's going to be tremendous. And I know that one of the things that you and I love talking about is Trump. We may get to that later on.
Yes, yeah. Let's
see. But tell me about the company and for everyone else's benefit. I mean, I know what you do, but let everybody hear what you guys get up to.
So WOM Agency is an entertainment agency that focuses on artists, event production, and online marketing, and positioning artists in a specific way that relates to where we're at now, and that's something that we'll tap into.
When you say where we're at now, that's a whole universe that actually confuses and mindfucks most of us. You know, 10 years ago, there were a couple of festivals, there were concerts. There were clubs.
Yes.
Right? All of that is so different now. And, I mean, you've got your finger on the pulse way more than most of the people I know, and certainly more than most of the people I don't know even. It's all changed now.
Yeah, completely. You know, and this is
What do people go to?
Yeah, this is the biggest thing. And I mean, this comes up all the time, and I hate mentioning the COVID pandemic. Like, I absolutely can't.
Well,
but since then, you know, having...
Shit's changed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, since then...
Everything went tits up. It did.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. I mean, there were clubs all over the place. I mean, outside of WOM Agency, I used to DJ 3-4 times a weekend.
Right.
And from there... the club scene's just disappeared, and it's all gone into like this bar/restaurant culture, where some of them absolutely become a club and it's very cool. But I mean, the whole culture's changed, and people are looking for more intimate things as well because it kind of got conditioned to it over those 2 years.
Like what? Like I mean, what's the stuff that really works now? Because I mean, you've pulled off a couple of monster events in the last couple of months, but. You've been doing this for much longer than that.
Exactly.
What are people most interested in going to? Where do they meet? I mean, this is what it is, right? Because social media is all good and well. We're all on it. It dominates our lives. But if I were in my 20s now, and I were actually looking to have relationships, and I wanted to meet people, and I wanted to go out and have fun. Like, I wouldn't know where the hell to start now.
Mm.
Obviously, we grew up at a different time. So there were lots of different options then. But what are the options now? Like, what do people want to do?
Yeah, it's like this is the argument that we have. Like, in the past, firstly, social media from a event and entertainment point of view has also ruined it, in my opinion.
Sure.
Because if somebody gets to an event early, or they send the content or post it, which everybody does because they've got nothing better to do, and then if it doesn't particularly look good, then nobody ends up going.
Right.
So it kind of spoils the surprise.
While the event is on, or if it's over a couple of days, you have to be really careful of those influencers post something shit, because that could have more an effect than all your marketing.
Yeah, exactly. You build up over months and months of doing this event.
Oh, you always find those people and shoot them. That's what you hire a hit squad. I mean, that's the future of marketing. We're going to have to get a SEAL Team 6 to go and take out... you know, Flex and James, they're busy talking smack about our event, and frankly, we need it to work.
And if you post 1 minute after the doors have opened and it looks pretty shit.
Yeah, of course.
Then,
right.
I mean, come on. Let's actually
give it
some time.
Okay, but you also mentioned artists just now, because I was with you with that Mikasa ship thing that we did, which was actually really fun. And I mean, Mikasa are an example of a band that have just, they just keep going from strength to strength, those guys. Yeah. Individually and together as a band. And it appeals to me that there are things that they are doing now that are outside of the box. And, you know, they're considering ways of, because it's hard to be a musician these days. It's not like it was when you could just sell a whole bunch of music.
No, exactly. It's become
now you have to do events and merch. And, yeah,
that's all it is. People look at how many Spotify streams you have, and then they consider whether you're great or not.
Oh, really? Is that what that's the metric?
That's
they
the
use?
Metric now.
Wow.
And that dives into so many artists that may particularly not be any good, but then send their music off to stream farms in order to fake the stream numbers. And
it's like those people who I got a message in my inbox on Instagram the other day from like some fucking long made up name.
Mm.
Like, you need to buy 20,000 followers. I'm like, no, I don't. Yeah. I'm actually fine if you ask me how many people are following me right now, I have a rough approximation, but it's based on what I knew 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it's gone up or down or drastically increased or stayed the same, or I can't tell you a damn thing. But that is what a lot of people measure.
It's
in media and events.
Completely.
In music.
It's no longer merit. It's a full on popularity contest, whether it's from streams, from following, and how many followers you have in order to try and promote the event for somebody else.
Well, I'm told reliably by Time Magazine that the most influential person in the world is Meghan Markle.
Oh, well, that's...
I mean, what's not to believe? Right? I mean, she's so fantastic.
And made such an impact.
Frankly, I've never met anyone, and I hope I never do, who thinks she's fabulous, because...
No, I mean, you walk
pretty sure
away, turn your back on them and never see them again.
I'm pretty sure I'll hate them. Who was it? Was it Megyn Kelly who said the other day? She said, I don't think Prince Harry or Meghan Markle have ever, are ever, or will ever do anything interesting in their entire lives.
No.
And I think that's probably true. I mean, you know, where do you go from princess?
Yes.
You know? You can only fuck up, and she's proving that over and over again. But this whole thing about the metrics and how people weigh themselves up against each other and how they measure up, and this is the stuff that I suppose it's currency, right?
Yeah.
So when you talk about artists, how do you get them to do new and different stuff? How do you come up with the ideas? Because it's not as if you're the only one trying, and it seems to be working damn well.
Yeah, you know, a big thing that has changed years ago, 10 to 15 years ago, that was always this well-polished, highly produced content in order to promote an artist or a music video that millions of dollars were spent on in order to captivate in the MTV era.
Yeah, you remember that.
My God. It's a reality TV show.
I heard from someone that the Sony head office in New York spent something like $15,000 a week on fresh flowers.
Well,
when they were in their heyday.
Yeah.
you know, BMG, which became Sony BMG.
Exactly.
They would spend $15,000 a week just on flowers. Flowers.
They've got to try and impress the artists that walk in. After taking all the money.
Yeah, exactly.
Before they even start making a sense.
And they
of
did
it.
Take all the money.
Yes.
Those record companies were just. It's amazing how the middleman fucks us all, right? Middleman, like if you grow carrots, it costs you. You've got the labor, you're doing you sow the seeds, you harvest the fucking carrots, you have to wash them probably, you have to package them too. Then you must send them off to the supermarket. The supermarket goes, we'll slap a couple of percentage points on that.
Yeah.
And then the consumer's like, well, I've just got to pay. Yeah. If I want the carrots, I can't go direct to the farmer.
Yeah, exactly.
And the middle guys are the cleverest because they don't have to do the most. They do the least.
And they're the least creative.
Right, same with the music business.
Yeah, it's within the music business, they rely on the artists for everything. Take their assets.
Right.
Pay them essentially a loan, which they call an advance.
Yeah.
And end up making it all back times four before the artist makes a cent.
Lee says, don't forget to like people. But I read that as, don't forget to like people.
Yeah.
Because it's very difficult to like people. Yeah, it's a hard thing. Yeah.
I think that's a good thing to be reminded to do every day.
So I always used to give Kyle shit because he went through the stage where he was making up bullshit about being like socially anxious or whatever. It's like, what a lot of nonsense. And he just would never leave his house or do anything interesting.
Well, it comes down to not liking people.
Yeah, I know, but that's a great excuse now that I've just given it to him. Well, thank you to Lee in the comments for giving him the excuse now. It's a funny thing, though, how I really walk this tightrope. People often ask you, are you an introvert or are you an extrovert?
Mm.
And I think we're all both.
Yeah.
Right? Like yesterday, I was working from home the whole day. The only thing I left home to do was to go to gym. I didn't even go to the shops. I didn't feel like seeing anyone.
Yeah.
I had to have a few meetings, but that's part of business. It's not like you're sitting there going, oh, I'm craving company.
Yeah.
I just desperately need to get on this Zoom call with all these wonderful people. Look. That's the introvert in me, and I'm very happy to be on my own. On Friday last week, I had you know because you were invited, but you didn't come.
That was not a social anxiety thing.
No, I know. No, you were working, which, by the way, is never an excuse that bothers me. I've told you this a million times, but I can say that to anybody. If for some reason I invite someone to something and they don't come because they've got work, I'm always fine with that.
Yeah.
I totally get it because it happens to me.
Yeah,
and frankly, if you have to prioritize having a wild, drunken tequila night versus making 100,000 rand, I'm with you on the making 100,000 rand thing, dude.
Of course, I
think that makes sense. We'll get back to WOM in a second.
Yeah, no.
Artists, but I wanted to say this extrovert introvert thing really irritates me because we're all both. And then I hear people talking about an ambivert, which supposedly is like both.
Yeah.
But I don't see how it's a relevant way to measure people anymore. When I'm extroverted, I'm in a mood for people and I want to be loud and obnoxious and funny and manic and all of those things. And when I'm introverted, you wouldn't prize me out of my house with a crowbar.
Yeah. No, I mean, it comes down to the surroundings as well. I mean, I'm exactly the same. Like if I have to go and socialize and be around.
No, you can turn it on.
Yeah, you turn it on. Most of the times, I would much rather stay away from thousands and thousands of people if I don't have to be there. There's absolutely no need to do it and stop and chat. And
well, I mean, let's just be frank about the fact that waking up at 4:30 on an increasingly cold winter's morning. I have to love what I do.
Yes.
Otherwise, why the hell would I do it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy, right? I mean, I was in the shower at 4:35 this morning. Thank God I washed, you know? That's what I always say.
Yeah, I'm not sitting too close to you, so it's okay. But you did well.
So I got into the shower and I'm like, okay, well, first of all, thank God the water's hot because there have been a few mornings where I haven't got the geezer timing right. And I've got this thing on a timer. It's on an app. And sometimes it's terrific and it works like a charm.
Yeah.
But I've realized, like, if I wake up too early or too late. Sometimes it hasn't kicked in yet. So there was a morning last week. Thank God it was a short week. Where I woke up and I was like, okay, well, fuck. I got to have a cold shower.
At least you were ready for the day. And Jesus, you could not.
Does that wake you up, huh?
My God. Oh. No, I mean, have you ever done that ice bath?
No.
I'm very curious because I wanted to see what your thoughts were on that.
So Ben Karpinski does it all the time, and he thinks it's an excellent thing. He even had one at home. And
yeah, I know a few people that have this thing at home.
He
what
got into it
like
every morning early and in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
Listen, kudos to you if you do it. I heard two guys talking the other day at the gym about, yeah, and I'll get mine to like 5 or 6 degrees. Other one's like, oh no, I can only get to 10 because I've got this inflatable. It's like he's got a kid's pool.
He's got a kid's pool.
You know those inflatable
and
kids' pools?
He goes
pools?
To his freezer, yeah. Gets a couple of trays of ice.
The stupid fucking moron. And then he gets
jump
in.
If you have a pool, jump in the pool. It's probably 5 degrees, for God's sake.
It probably is, right? Just buy a thermometer. Yeah. Why you're wasting all this money on like... Some people get those chest freezers.
Yes, yes.
And they hollow them out or they put something in and then they leave it overnight to get super cold. Listen, there's going to be a point somewhere in the winter where you won't need any of that stuff. It'll just be cold enough.
Yeah, exactly. And that is on the same level as somebody doing CrossFit.
Well,
or being vegan. They have to tell you they do the ice bath.
But I'm not saying it doesn't work.
No.
I think it probably really does. And I imagine the temperature has a far greater role than we've always given it credit for. If you are, those super, super cold days where you're a little bit edgy because it's freezing and you're shaking a little bit like a shitting dog. But you're also very, very good at focusing.
Yeah.
Because the heat kind of gives you distractions. It makes you
uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Whereas the cold keeps you in your lane.
Yeah, yeah.
When you work.
Yeah, you can't really easily get too tired.
Just by the way, the guy I used to do Blind History with, Anthony Medera, he makes those very fancy ice baths. They're called Igloo. And at some of the smarter gyms, the really smart ones, they have these igloos of his. And man, those things can go down to like 1 degree.
Jesus Christ.
Then they're incredible. Yeah. Now that must be unbearably cold. Unbearable.
No.
You see these people who was on the show the other day was talking about the saunas. Tumi Morake, she was saying that in Finland, she was there and they do the sauna.
Yeah.
So they hop in the sauna, very, very, very hot in the sauna, and then they jump straight into the ice or the lake or they roll around.
They go from
the
one
extreme
to the next.
I don't know. I mean, look, probably very good for you. I think it must be so uncomfortable. Derek says, iron that collar, it looks shit. Do you really think I would know what to do with an iron? I wouldn't even know which way to hold it. I'd probably burn myself by thinking I was touching the handle when it's actually the base. Who knows? I only joined now, says Carl DeSantos. Who's this cat? This is Kyle Word, Carl. Thank you for joining us. Gareth did just back, sack, and crack, lol, says Lee. Listen, I don't shower for a long time, huh? It's just, it's a necessity. I don't stay in there. I remember when we were living at my parents' house, my sister and I at the same time, she would take these princess showers.
Steam the room up.
Oh, my God. She'd be in there for 45 minutes.
No, man.
Oh, yeah. I don't understand that.
To get ready, you've got to be on a mission so you could get somewhere.
Quick, man. Who has the time? I had a 15-hour day yesterday, said Bitcoin, but with my breads, today's my off day. I know how you feel. Yeah, you know... some people have. You were saying that you had a pretty busy day yesterday. It's nice to have a busy day, though. I love nothing more than when I get to the end of it and I'm tired.
Yeah.
And you desperately need to get into that bed and just sleep, because lying in bed and not having done enough during the day,
my God.
Or you still have energy left over, not because you're lazy, it's just you have energy left over, and then you lie there in bed and you just cannot get to sleep. That's very frustrating.
No, I used to dread having these full days, and we were speaking about it before we started.
No.
It definitely is a hell of a lot better to just go from one meeting to the next, get through, because it ends up being a lot more productive, and doing these things in person as well just makes life a lot easier. I mean, fine, we do these calls online, but my God, it's frustrating.
Now, what is that shit that you told me just now about how you're not drinking anymore?
They're just...
Are you going to take a break?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God. What if you become very boring?
Come on.
Are you worried about that?
Certainly. And...
See, I'm worried about other people becoming boring.
Yeah, you know what? Exactly.
I'm worried.
That's your concern with me right now.
I have to be around my friends and they'll be sober. And I'll be the only one who's still drinking and they'll be terrible.
You know what the concern was for me is... Wednesday last week, I had to DJ, and it was the first gig that I had to do without having a drink in a long time, and that was very anxiety inducing because it was you literally everyone around you is completely having a good time doing their own thing, and then you're not
That's
on the
it.
Same level, and I end up looking like an open heart surgeon,
and you have to drink those embarrassing drinks that have no alcohol in them.
Yes, a little mocktail or
mocktail. I mean, I'm. Just shoot me in the head, the damn. Listen, I said it to you, and I've said it on the show a million times too. Something is going to kill you. It may as well be something you like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I've just accepted that I'm a part-time vapor now.
Okay.
And that all started because of New Year's Eve.
Yes.
I brought along, for the first time ever, a vape to the New Year's Eve thing that I was at with Kyle and some other friends. And then I bought another one yesterday, and I was like, okay, well, I suppose this is now a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to do something with your hands, Gary.
So now, that's what I always say, but I think it's – so I read this interesting thing on Monday about nicotine.
Mm.
And provided that you take it in the right way, obviously smoke is never good for your lungs, so I'm not going to try and bullshit anyone about that. I don't think anyone's dumb enough to buy it. But a bit of nicotine is actually not bad. It does some pretty amazing things in the system. But I don't think they mean by smoking it.
Yeah.
And someone who's never been a smoker, I'm still not drawn to the idea of smoking all the time. But I've just decided, okay, well I'm gonna try this out. I know I can stop. Just like I could stop anything that I enjoy if I put my mind to it. I don't feel like I'd be addicted to anything.
Yeah.
It's kind of your fault. I'm looking for someone to blame. I'm thinking it's partly you that I'm doing this fucking vaping now. No, it's ridiculous. Good for you, Gareth. Instead of rubbing one out, vape instead. Yeah, there we go. Lots of people in the comments with lots to say. Carl DeSantos says, I'm not drinking anymore, not drinking any less either.
Okay.
Good, 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 good. Carl from PE, different Carl, says... have kids. That'll drain your energy very quickly. Oh. Tell me about it. And then Carol Jean just says, no, I don't like to be cold. I don't like winter. That's that. That's what she says in the comments. Look, there we go. That's that. She's like, had enough. All right. Very good.
Enough for this.
And then there are people like Bitcoin Boot and Patrick are saying, just smoke weed. Just smoke weed every day. No.
Mm-mm.
The smell.
Oh, my God.
Homelessness and poverty. That's what it smells like. It smells like when you drive under the bridge.
It reeks of poverty.
When you drive under the bridge highway, at the off-ramp or the on-ramp. You drive under that bridge and you see those people who live up in the eaves of the bridge.
Yeah.
in the crack at the top, behind some cardboard.
Crack residents.
Yeah, yeah, that's what they are. And then you get that waft of that fucking weed that smells a bit like weed, but also like khaki boss.
Yes.
It's a fucking terrible
mixed
smell.
With a lot of urine.
Oh, and urine. Always so much urine.
I was quite disappointed when I was in Cape Town. I took a walk down one of the roads in Sea Point, and my God, it just reeked of urine. I was absolutely disgusted.
I really don't understand why people are confused about the homeless. Homeless people's lives will not be improved by giving them a house. They'll just fuck that up.
Yeah.
The reason they're on the street isn't because they can't afford a house.
Mm.
And this has been – check me on this. Anybody, you're welcome to go and do as much deep dive research as you want to. But they've proven in America time and time again in cities like San Francisco, if you give a bunch of homeless people apartments – they will just turn the apartments into the street. They'll fuck everything up. They'll ruin the kitchen. They'll make a fire in the middle of the room. They'll take their drugs. They'll pee and shit everywhere. These are not people who've adjusted to society. The reason they live on the street is because they don't want to live in a house.
Yeah.
It's not because they're homeless. Sure, there are exceptions.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, I'm so sick of, like, toxic compassion coming from a certain kind of person in society who's usually just guilty that they've got everything. It's usually like a kept housewife or a woman who's married a very, very rich guy. Or
I love to give back.
Or some teenager who's grown up with everything they'd ever wanted. And eventually all the PlayStation games have been played and won. And then they're like, now I need to become an activist. And then they make shit up. And they speak for people who didn't ask them to speak for them.
And at the same time, we'll take somebody off the streets and become an influencer. We're giving them a makeover.
No, but all for clout.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, there's none of this, I'm doing this because I really care about you.
Certainly not.
But, you know, it's the people who make the most noise about, oh, well, taxes are too low and the rich must pay, the 1% must pay more. Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, of course.
They must pay more money because we are all being taken advantage of by the rich. I'm like, you know.
Says he.
You are allowed in America or in South Africa, you are allowed to pay more tax than you have to. They're not going to stop you.
SARS
isn't going to call you and go, hey, listen, you know, you should really stop sending us more than you have to.
Can you imagine?
So if you're one of those people who really thinks that everyone, put on that picture that I put up the other day with tax. It's that Donald Duck or something. if people want to pay more tax, you're welcome to.
Yeah.
You know, I see rich celebrities saying, well, I think that the rich should pay their fair share. Well, you could give away all of your money right now if you want to. Yeah, a fine is a tax for doing wrong. A tax is a fine for doing well. That's exactly it. Okay, so it strikes me as odd that all these people who are always talking about tax or, you know, the poor, or they put themselves in a position where suddenly they're defending everyone else. Like morally, they're very virtuous people. These are the good people, the compassionate people.
Moral warriors.
Oh, shame. You know, just because you have everything. I'm like, well, give away all your shit.
Yeah.
No one's stopping you. Just don't touch my money. It's always someone else's money.
Yes.
I'll make rules in Parliament about what Kyle has to do with his money. But I'll still live off the taxpayer.
Of course.
Great move. I mean, don't pay any attention to the card trick I'm about to play on you. Just look over here. Don't pay attention to what's going on over here. Please. Outrageous. Perfect example is South Africa. We gave a bunch of homeless people the country and they fucked it. When you do a Bernie, do the hand gestures. You gotta do the Bernie. He's got the crazy hand gestures, right? But Trump also does a lot of hand gestures. I've noticed he sits now and he puts his... He does the steeple thing quite a lot.
Well, I gotta tell you...
He plays the accordion.
We got some good deals.
He plays the accordion. He does that one quite a lot.
He loves that.
He loves this one.
He loves the tremendous. That's my favorite.
Just play that clip of him. He says we're going to stop the war with the Houthis. The Houthis won out. They say, please stop bombing us. Just stop bombing us. So here they are. Take a look at Trump and you'll see. Watch the hand gestures especially.
We had some very good news last night. The Houthis have announced that they are not, or they've announced to us at least, that they don't want to fight anymore. They just don't want to fight. And we will honor that. And we will stop the bombings.
All right, so that's not a great example because he actually keeps his hands still. And I think he's been in training.
I think so.
I think they've said to him, it's too much with the hand gestures because you look like Bernie. Yeah. Bernie looks like a crazy person.
I tell you, the one I am so upset about these millionaires and billionaires. Too much. I can't handle it. Where's AOC to come and rally with me at Coachella?
Come on. Bringing art... Someone like please. That or a politician these to are a festival.
These are exactly the people I'm talking about. They wanted them there. Trust me. Those people, spoiled rich kids from all over America and the rest of the world, going to Coachella to fucking take drugs and listen to music and fuck each other's brains out in tents like homeless people.
Like homeless people. These
are the people who have this toxic compassion. Mm. Deep down inside, they think they're going to save the world, but they can't actually cook a fucking egg for breakfast. Yeah. Those are the problem people in the world right now because we're all looking at them. No,
they
focus
on everyone else around them because they can't actually look up for themselves.
I don't know anything about this, but I'm sure that you are aware because you're always paying attention to stuff that the Met Gala took place.
Yes.
Okay, this is the dumbest, most elite, most inconsequential event in the world. So the Met Gala is this stupid thing they do in New York every year. People just dress like complete idiots. I mean, see if you can find, James, a few pictures of like the dumb outfits people were wearing at the Met Gala.
But especially when they need five people carrying their tail of the dress.
Yeah, and these are the most spoilt, most coddled, most indulged people in the world, right? These are like they needed a
further ego boost.
They have a tantrum when the latte that they ordered isn't as foamy as they expected, and it doesn't have the right amount of spice on the top. Pumpkin spice latte. It's a big thing in America, right?
God forbid you don't wake up and have your pumpkin spice latte.
And these are the people who are making the world worse. They're not making it better. They think they're at the leading edge, the cultural vanguard of the world.
Yeah.
Average people hate we all hate you. You're not superior. You're not better. You're not interesting. You are dreadful, dreadful people. You're really essentially you're like an unnecessary garish decoration on something that was already looking fine before you came along. And when they do things like the Met Gala, they think it's like we're asserting our cultural superiority. I'm sure they think that, even
of course
if they haven't. And I mean, a lot of the people are too stupid who go to these things to even think about stuff like that. But the rest of us are not looking at you going, yeah, we wish we were you. You know, this is partly why Trump won.
Yeah.
It's like we don't watch these people and take them seriously, right?
Yeah.
You got to see some of these fucking outfits. The only reason I know about it, by the way, is because someone sent me a few of them on Instagram. I should have just sent you screenshots. But
also at the same time, everybody would post a million photos looking at something that they would it's absolutely it's just outrageous and it's cringeworthy to actually see it.
What events would you really like to go to in the world? And which events might you have wanted to go to a couple of years ago, but now if I gave you an invite you wouldn't want to go? I mean, you know all about the events world. So
Tomorrowland.
Tomorrowland, I think, would be. You'd say no.
I'd say no.
Really? You wouldn't go there anymore?
No.
Huh. I still meet people who go, what do you want to go to Tomorrowland?
Yeah, it's the first. If anybody says, what's your dream festival? Where do you want to go? And for you asking me which is the one that you don't want to go to, at least it's still the first answer, but it's a no. Like, I would absolutely love to go to Coachella just from a production and experience point of view. However, I would never in a million years stay in a godforsaken tent in the middle of the desert.
So they just had Africa Burn. You wouldn't do that?
Definitely not. Unless I had a RV manufactured by Ferrari or Lamborghini with running water, internet, and electricity. Then cool.
Okay. Yeah.
But my God, the filth I've witnessed.
I never went to any.
I was
always invited. I never went to Opikopi. I've never been to like Splashy.
No, me neither.
I can't imagine doing any of those things.
The camping situation is what throws me off.
Well, you know, I've always said, and you've heard me say it too, I don't mind where I go as long as I'm with people I like.
Yes.
But
there are some conditions to
that. Yeah, there's some places you couldn't get. Wild horses could not drag me there. I did have tickets to Africa Burn in 2020. And then, of course, COVID happened.
Yes.
And so
would you have gone?
I was ready to
really?
Go. Oh, yeah. I was going with Nick's Athens.
Okay,
and
yes.
And I think Robin and Nikki and like a whole bunch of other friends of mine, too, who are – I've got to get – Robin and Nikki on the show at some point.
Oh my
point.
God, you have to
introduce them to
you
everybody.
Absolutely
wildest
have to.
Fucking people. But yeah, we were really amped up, Greg Walsh.
Yes.
It was going to be a
got
lovely...
your Mad Max glasses. Did
oh,
you
the
get
whole
them
thing.
Ready?
We had outfits prepared. Well, the girls had outfits prepared. I mean, I was going to make it up on the day before and just see what I could find in the dress up
shop. The dress
cupboard.
Up shop.
Yeah. But I do think I might have enjoyed it then. I don't think I could do it now. Because the fact that it's this, I never liked the idea, to be perfectly honest. I was on a, they prepare you. There's a whole thing you have to know before you go there.
A little orientation.
Oh, yeah, you have to, you trade, because money is.
Oh, yes, of course.
Money is no good there. Communists, right? So so it's pretty much like,
there we go.
Like anything good gets ruined by communists.
Yeah.
So the communists now, they wanted me, I had to learn that I needed to bring something that I could use. I don't know, like cowrie shells or fucking lucky beans that I could now trade with the other communists.
No, come on.
To get a bottle of water or a pot to
piss
in.
You see why I said
or...
I would want to go there fully stocked so I don't have to deal with that shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you close your trailer, like a movie star trailer.
Exactly.
You close
that's
your
it.
Door and you just live in your luxury.
Go,
yeah, yeah, I'm with you.
Go out there on a quad bike or whatever. Cruise around, have a look.
Yeah.
Is it looking good? Cool. Is it a good night?
So I got a video from a friend of mine, and they burn all that shit.
Yes.
Explosions and fireworks. And that does look like fun, again, depending on who you're with. So I get the Coachella thing. I don't want to say that it's a total waste. I would probably not like being there because I do think it's a spoilt bunch of liberals' children. That's what they are. And people who are too old that shouldn't be there anyway. You know,
and it also becomes a flex for a lot of celebrities that go there.
Oh, yeah, because they
because
can
that becomes,
be with the people.
Yes, yeah. I was with the fans, my community.
Right.
Yeah.
I was chilling next to John Cougar Mellencamp. I don't know who would
like
people.
There was a video last night that
Timothy
was.
Timothy Charlemagne.
Yeah, that stock standard, and he's walking around looking like a hobo.
Oh, was he there?
Yes, yeah.
I'm sure he was there, yeah. What events would you want to go to? You said this is one that you wouldn't want to tomorrow.
But Tomorrowland, I wouldn't. I'd like to go to Coachella.
Would you?
Yes.
Okay, what would you want to see there? Because you look at things differently.
Yeah,
I don't look at events with a critical eye. I just go, this is fun or I'm not having fun.
Yeah.
Those are my only two states of being.
The big thing that I would actually go there to observe is, firstly, how over the last couple of years it's progressed from a production point of view and a production value point of view on what they put into that festival in terms of how 1 minute there's this artist, the next minute it's another artist, and the stage looks completely different. So from a technical
production,
and execution, it's definitely not going there to stand in a crowd of 100,000 people.
No,
certainly not. It's literally from a event production point of view to have a look, and that's about it.
I always wanted to do, this is just plain Jared in the comments section, I always wanted to do Opi Kopi, but nowadays it just looks like a dusty sex nest. It's always been that, hasn't it?
Mm.
People can be so filthy, man. Your guest is on point, G. Yeah, that's Max Sony. All right, Slippery Pickle says, they're not too old, they're bartering in the currency of music festivals. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that if you're in the right frame of mind, you could have the time of your life at one
of these
things.
Do.
Yeah, sure. Chomotso says, I think anyone over 40 should attend such events. Do you mean should or shouldn't? You think anyone over 40 should or shouldn't? Just make sure you clarify that for us, Chomotso, because
I'd like to see
you're saying
why,
two very different things. Yeah. So what kind of stuff are you there we go. There's Coachella. That's the stage this year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's it.
You think that's an impressive stage?
Yeah, if you were to see – I mean, there are a couple of other stages.
So what artists perform there that you even know about? Because I don't know anything about Coachella.
I mean, on that stage in particular, it's generally a lot of the mainstream artists, but what fascinates, like Lady Gaga or Bruno Mars or Frank Ocean.
So I saw Lady Gaga perform to millions of people in Brazil.
Yes.
Did you see those videos? I didn't know. I thought it must have been fake because the whole
it's just
city.
Goes endless.
Right.
It's
the whole
it's
city's heaving and she kept them glued to her. I mean, one person, I don't know how many millions of people, because, you know, Brazil.
Oh, my God.
I mean.
There's this event that happens there, and it's bizarre. Whoever is performing at this event, I can't recall the name, but it is packed out, as you said, a million people. It's unbelievable.
There should be some video. Just look up at Lady Gaga and millions of people, Brazil. There's probably a video somewhere that you can pull off the internet for us to
look
at.
Those are the search terms.
You got to see
Gaga,
this.
Lady Gaga, million people, Brazil.
You got to see it to believe. There's more than a million.
Yeah, no.
It's millions of people. It's pretty insane. All right, so we've got clarity from Chomotso.
Okay.
Should not attend.
Good.
So if you're over 40, Chomotso says you should not attend. Cool, we're all agreed. No attendance by people over 40 anymore. It's a rule now. You will be mocked mercilessly on the show if you ever go.
And that's referring to Africa Burn? Or just in general
I think
Chomotso
means all festivals ever.
Okay.
So you're just a huge embarrassment to your family, your friends, society as a whole, if you go to any of these things.
Yeah.
Lee says, we'll actually enjoy the music and not look at our phones or record everything the whole fucking night. That's a good point. Mm. I mean, maybe people over 40 will appreciate it more than people who are constantly on the fucking screens.
That's the other thing with Africa Burn, for example, is
there's
no signal.
So you have to leave your phone.
Yeah.
That would be a plus, if you asked me.
Absolutely.
I'm going somewhere this weekend where there's no signal either.
Excellent.
And I'm so excited about it.
Yeah.
I think I did it 2 years ago. So I'm going with my sister and her boyfriend and my cousins, and we're going to go and just chill on this beautiful property in the middle of nowhere. There's no signal. There are these crystal clear mountain streams.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of walking around.
So you can be
one
with nature, Garrett.
I can become a proper hippie. But we're still not going to trade in beans and curry shells, all right? Like a commie. I've been tasked. I've been tasked with this, with a weekend of doing the shopping, which is not a good idea.
Oh, God.
They've said to me, you do the shopping.
Who put you in charge of the shopping?
Very, very bad things are happening. Very bad things are happening. So I've got to go and do the shopping, which means we're going to eat meat and salad. That's it. I don't want to be creative about this.
No.
I'm going to get lots of tomatoes, steak, lamb chops, boerewors rolls, maybe some more tomatoes. That's the whole.
So you can have a bowl of tomatoes.
We're going to have so many. You're going to have so many tomatoes. You're going to be sick of tomatoes. What do people eat? That's all I eat. That's all I give a shit about.
If they put you in charge of shopping, then tough shit.
What do they think?
You're going to go buy some risotto and
buy the ingredients for a casserole.
Yes.
Yeah. You think I even know what a casserole is? I know what a hot dog roll is. I know what a hamburger bun is.
Yes.
I don't know what a casserole is. Is that one of those
salad.
Curly rolls? Or those ones with the powder on that the pourers like to sell? Casserole. Do you know what a casserole is, James? Flex, do you know what a casserole is? Mojodu, no. Mojodu is very different. Mojodu's the sheep's head. you're talking about the mojodu, the intestines, the tripe. Yeah, that's not a casserole.
No.
Jesus, you need to meet more white people, Flex. Mind you, I'm sitting here, I don't know what it is.
So yeah.
You sure you don't know?
I don't want to say because it might be wrong.
Go. I've just said it's a curly roll.
Curly roll.
Come on, what do you think it is?
Isn't it like almost like a cottage pie sort of dish that gets baked in the oven?
That sounds revolting.
Of course. let's Google
what is
a photo.
It? Wait, someone in the audience will tell us. I don't want to look this up.
Are we all going to be in... embarrassed right now.
Meat and veg stew, apparently. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
Twirly roll.
When you go, okay, so I had the biggest, most intense, complex discussion imaginable about the red and brown versions of Fritos and Big Corn Bites once. And I see, the only reason I bring this up again is because someone in the comments says, I didn't give them credit here.
I've had arguments with you about this on road
Chris
trips.
Chris Smith says shopping. That's why there are so many flavors of chips and crisps. Okay. I don't eat a lot of sweet things. Mm. So I don't have like chocolate in the house or any of that stuff. I've got biltong is an essential thing in my life. I could never have enough biltong.
Yeah.
But there's this one place that I like to go for my biltong. Simpiwe on Friday show 2 weeks ago said to me, she likes racist biltong. The more racist the shop is that you buy the biltong from, she reckons the better it is. Okay, now,
that
the
is
shop
fantastic.
I buy from is not at all racist, but they make fantastic biltong. I give them I'm going to make a noise for them here because they deserve it. They've just changed their shop, but they're still in the same center. R&M Meats here in Ilovo.
I've heard so many good things about it.
Mother of God, do they make good
biltong? I was wondering which one it was going to be.
I had a meeting on Monday at 12 o'clock, and in between I had literally 15 to 16 minutes. I was on my way to this meeting. I was like, oh, I'm near there.
Yeah.
I better go and get some biltong. So I did. You buy it and they give it to you in the brown paper bag.
So that's the plan for after the show.
I started tucking in on my way to the meeting, and then I suddenly realized, like, I've probably eaten three handfuls of fucking biltong already. I'm going to look like a mess right here. God,
you get the sweats, Garrett.
I didn't get the meat sweats. But I felt like a ravenous, wild, carnivorous animal.
Yeah.
That's an essential. So going back to the chips.
Yes.
The chip aisle at most of these shops is an entire aisle of just chips. And people are very picky. Who knew? I don't know if you're particularly picky about this, but since someone's brought it up,
yeah,
and I'm going away for the weekend and I have to do the shopping, which is the right stuff to buy? I don't know anymore.
Well, what was the thing that you mentioned just now about the Doritos?
No, this is the endless.
Because there was an argument of you're not opening those chips in my car because they're smelly.
So okay,
they make your fingers all dusty.
Yeah. But that's unavoidable with the red and the brown chips.
Yeah,
okay?
Yes.
So it's the Fritos versus Big Corn Bite debate, which is, we're never going to put this to rest. It's never going to go away. It is a very serious thing. Some people are bipartisan. They are for the red Fritos, despite the powdery red fingers you get. But they're not for the brown Fritos. They're for the brown Big Corn Bites, but they're not for the red Big Corn Bites. It really depends. Dude, do not underestimate. These are
people take this shit seriously.
This is more important than the Met Gala or Coachella or Africa Burn. Okay, this is way more important because this is something you get to do all the time in your life. You're gonna have snacks. I'm gonna have some snacks at a dinner party. I'm gonna go to friends for drinks. They're gonna offer snacks. If they bring out the wrong brown or red varietals. You piss off a lot of people. You're not aware of it, but those people will never come back again on the basis of the red or brown chips. You're laughing, but it's true.
I'm laughing.
Am I right, guys?
This is hysterical.
So, okay, let's do a quick vote around the studio here. This is hugely important, and I'm not the one who brought this up. Chris Smith.
Red or brown.
So which are the correct ones to you? Because it's sacrilege to whoever doesn't agree, right? They're like, what? You son of a bitch, I liked you before, but now I want to murder you in the streets.
I'd take Fritos over Big Corn Bites.
Just as a brand?
Just in general.
The brown and the red?
Yes.
Huh. It's unorthodox.
Big Corn Bites are pretty, they're pretty, right, pretty hard.
It's fine. I mean, you're entitled to your opinion. James,
yeah, thanks. I feel
preferences
really...
and predilections? all the red. You only like the red. You see, I wanted specifics here. I like red Fritos and brown Big Corn Bites. That's my preference. But clearly, don't bring honey mustard into this.
We red and brown.
Red and brown. Red and brown. So James says he likes the red Big Corn Bites. Red Fritos and and the honey mustard Bitcoin. You can't bring that in. Now you, this is like, at the Council of Nicaea where they were trying to establish Christianity as the religion in the Roman Empire, and they were going through all the books of the Bible and throwing out books they didn't want. Right? Yeah. They were like, eh, don't like this. We got to talk about the Trinity a little more. We've got to talk about
combine those two.
Yeah, we got to talk about this. This part of the gospel, we're not sure if we want to have that. It's going to lead people down the wrong path. And throw that out. This is as important as that to some people. Flex, what do we got?
Red and brown, red Fritos.
Red Fritos. No particular brown preference for chips?
No.
Again, you guys haven't thought about this enough. It's a disgrace. I feel like this is I really feel you haven't done your homework. And now I have to go and do the shopping. And now I'm more confused than when I started.
Oh, yes, that's how we got to do. You got to go shopping.
You see, now we got people hopping in here with like red Fritos, but honey and mustard, Mrs. Balls. We don't want that. Hey, just don't. Guys, Bronwyn is right here. She goes, red Big Corn Bites barbecue Fritos. I like them all, but my husband said this is the way. See, Bronwyn's got a good husband, and Bronwyn is a sensible person. I will take Bronwyn's advice on chips, just like I'll take Chomotso's advice on festivals. I won't be going to any because I've been banned by Chomotso. So that's me schooled this morning, all right?
Banned.
I have been learned this morning. Okay. We don't see the glasses half full or empty. We change the glass into a mug. Sure. That's a heavy way to disguise your booze early in the morning. Do you think that people are becoming obsessed with coffee just because coffee is an acceptable addiction? Because I've noticed the number of people who will admit to being coffee fiends. Mm. They can't start their day. I usually have a coffee when I'm doing the show, but if I'm at home, I won't have a coffee first thing in the morning. It's a weird thing,
actually. If I go out.
People taking pictures of their cup of coffee. I've done it, right? And you post it on your story because you find a really good cup of coffee every now and then. Post a picture of your coffee. But some people are doing that, and you can tell they've tipped over into
obsessive.
I'm obsessed now.
Yes.
This is because it's an acceptable addiction. We were talking earlier about vaping and about boozing.
Oh, it absolutely is.
You know, you can't be posting a picture of yourself swigging a beer at 6 a.m. because people will, and rightfully I should think, judge you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, you're 12 and you're at primary school still. You shouldn't be doing that. Is 12 still primary school?
But the worst is having their coffee selections and obsession in the bio of their Instagram.
It's
like their job title or an email signature.
Right up there with the pronouns.
Yeah, oh my God.
Coffee, I'm a Java, a mocha Java.
I'm a him when it comes to coffee and a her when it comes to beer.
Oh, fuck right off.
Interchangeable bullshit. God. Jesus.
So Chris Buerta says, we have a Starbucks on every corner here. I have three coffee shots, I think he means shops, 10 minutes away from my home. Where are you? You must be in North America or in Australia. Maybe in Europe. We got a lot of them here in South Africa too. I've noticed a couple of those Plato coffees popping up all over the place. They must be a pretty damn good franchise because I've suddenly seen them take fire. I've seen like four in the space of 3 or 4 months. So whoever's running that operation seems to be doing a good job.
I mean, like, we need more options.
Well, to me, I'm not an aficionado, but there are people who really are. They know the difference. It's like you and I used to drink absolute shit tequila.
Yes.
We would. No, it was stuff. He's in California.
Okay.
So Chris says he's in California. It's no wonder. I mean, again, an acceptable addiction, right? So you have to have some vice, but it better be coffee because that's the one everyone thinks is okay. We used to drink terrible tequila.
Mm.
Then I think we started to improve our palate along the way because that stuff we were drinking in the early 2000s to 2010s, that stuff was, most of it was cane, yes, wasn't it?
Yes, exactly.
It was cane.
It reminds me of the damn ship, because that's all they had.
Jesus. And then we started drinking better stuff, and we became snobs for a little while. Mm. We're like, oh, I'll only have this kind of tequila. But I think we also we've settled on like the middle of the range. We can go lower. we can drink the shit, but we can also drink the good stuff.
Yeah, we can.
I mean, I've had the most expensive. In fact, you and I both when we were down in Cape Town.
Cape Town.
We had a couple of shots of some very, very high end tequilas, courtesy of my business partner here. And we racked up a hell of a bill that night. But we can also, and I went to the smartest wedding in December.
Mm.
Beautiful wedding. Really, really lovely couple. Magnificent. Everything about it was fucking top draw. And then I went with a friend of mine who's a dollar billion. I mean, this guy, one small withdrawal in Switzerland will go third world. Okay. He says, let's go and have a tequila. So we go to the bar. They only have this average stuff because they've got the smart stuff, but they've got that in the inside bar. I don't want anyone to think this was a cheap wedding. it was a very smart wedding. So so we order the cheap stuff because, everything's on the house here. It's that kind of wedding. It's not like, gesh, bar. So anyway, like, we get the tequila, and I'm like, oh, this is not the great. He looks at me. This guy really, he could buy Luxembourg. And he goes, don't be a snob about tequila. We used to drink this in dodgy bars in Somerset West and Stellenbosch. And I was like, yeah, you make a good point. It's the effect. Same goes for coffee. People are drinking coffee.
Yeah.
Some of them, sure, they like the taste. They can tell you, there's a bit of nutmeg going on there, some cinnamon or whatever. It happens. You get those people who are expert at that stuff. They're a nose for coffee. And I promise you, some of them are very good friends of mine. Some of them are terrific people. They're tremendous
people.
I'm very happy to make a deal with them. But they get carried away and they can become snobs. And really what you want from the coffee is the caffeine, the wake up. That's why I don't understand people who drink decaf. That makes no sense. What the fuck is that?
This is, I've had this argument with.
In fact,
what is the point? It's like having Coke Zero without the caffeine as
right.
well. What are you drinking?
Right. So
what is it?
That prison in El Salvador that Bukele's just made, that huge big prison, it's like the size of, I don't know, 20 football fields, just chock full of MS-13 and Tren de Aragua fucking gangsters.
Yes.
If you drink decaf coffee, you really should have your own wing there. You should be, we're going to deport you. We're going to send you straight there. You're not coming back. I think that's what's going to happen. Stop bullshitting. After the second shot, you don't know the difference between good or bad, says Arthur. Yeah. I'm not going to argue with you. Don't, as Thabo Modisane, God rest his soul, used to say, don't fight with me. I'm not fighting with you. Give me that shit. Durban Dope says, I have a soft spot for rusk in my coffee. Yeah, rusk. And if you're away in the bush, for example, there is nothing better than those cold winter mornings, because you have to go to the bush in the winter, when you've just woken up and you get a cup of coffee and you put you dunk a fucking rusk in there. That's breakfast. That's all you need to power you through the day.
And half of it falls off.
Why are we talking so much this morning about food and drink?
I don't know.
I've turned this into a.
What do you
what
have
I hate.
In the bush? Yeah. Half a rusk that's become smushed in the coffee.
Let's move on. I feel like we have strayed into a world that. You see, this is all because of the pressure of me having to go and shop.
Yeah.
These sons of bitches. They should never have put me in charge of that stuff.
So
what are you doing this
they
weekend?
Really
what,
should.
What work? Because you're always working. What events are happening? What are you guys planning? Tell me about what WOM's doing.
Yeah, so we're actually planning the big one at the moment, which is requiring a lot of time, is Spring Fiesta, which you're aware of. The amount of work that goes into that.
Monstrous.
Yeah, so that is the objective over the next couple of weeks, just to get ahead. And it's looking good, though. So that's one thing. And then
where does that happen, and what is it?
Wild Waters. So H2O happens the week before.
Boxborough,
yeah. It happens the week before, and then Spring Fiesta the week after. We like to say, I mean, we work on both, but we like to say H2O is like the test run before Spring Fiesta. So anything that goes wrong, we can correct and fix.
Okay.
What sort of numbers in
terms of people do you get at something like Spring Fiesta?
About 13,000 to 14,000 people.
That's monstrous.
Our highest that we had was 15. Which was just before COVID hit.
Wow.
It's chaos. And what is even more fascinating to watch is the consumption of alcohol within the first 3 hours of between 12 and 3 p.m.
In the afternoon.
In the afternoon. You know, people get there early. They go to the VVIP upstairs.
And they just puzza.
And within the first 2 to 3 hours, just in that particular area, 300 bottles of a cognac gone.
Ooh.
And it's unbelievable.
And that's top shelf stuff. Not the cheap stuff.
No.
I'm amazed at what people will do to be snobs about that sort of thing. All right. So I want to show you this quickly. Do you still have Down the Mines? Because it's just come up in the comment section, and I don't think Kyle's seen it yet. Okay. There's this Australian, I think they're Australian, comic duo. And they just made a song about inclusivity and everybody being in the workforce and how we can solve the economic problems that we have and everything else. And I think you should see this. I think it's pretty damn fine. All right. One or two quick things just so that we talk about some sensible stuff this morning. Apparently, the New Zealand Prime Minister has proposed banning under 16s from social media. Controversial opinion. I think you should be banned from social media if you're under 16. I think it addles the brain. You should be, oh man. How old was I when I got my first mobile phone? It must have been like 22 or so. And I think it considerably impacted my intelligence. I think I've got dumber as a result. Not because the microwaves or any of that stuff.
No, of course not. it's definitely not. I mean, the first phone would not have been a smartphone. So, I mean, you couldn't exactly doom scroll and spend time on it. So it was its sole purpose as to why you had it.
That was a dumb phone. It wasn't a smartphone.
Yes.
But I was so proud of it. I loved that thing.
Did you ever wear it on a holster?
No,
on your
I didn't have a I never had a holster. I never had a fanny pack or a holster. But, you know, I thought about it the other day. I was listening to an episode of Joe Rogan's podcast. I don't listen to all of them, especially the MMA ones. I don't really find that interesting.
No.
But he has a good guest every now and then that's really worthwhile.
Yeah.
But during the course of the show, just like I've done with James, show us this clip or whatever, you know, before you'd have to tell the story.
Yeah.
Or you'd have to remember the fact yourself. Now I find myself kind of like an episode in my head of Joe Rogan, even when I'm with a small group of people. It's like, oh, what was the name of that movie actor from this movie in 1987? And then, of course, what people do is they go straight to their phones and they Google it. So you don't retain any information.
No, it makes you lazy.
You can't remember important stuff. And I'm not saying I'm the best or the worst at this. I have my pitfalls as well. But the fact is that you can't have a conversation without someone Googling something or showing you something off their phone.
Or fact-checking you, God forbid, the conversation doesn't go their way.
Yes, fact-checking as well. It's like, let's just make sure of this fact. I believe margarine is definitely worse for you than butter. And let's just look that up first.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, so have you got Down the Mines? Play that for Kyle. It's very entertaining. And for those who missed it on Monday.
More jobs, less automation.
Yeah!
Prioritize education.
Yeah!
More income in this nation.
Yeah!
We got the answer with a tiny bit of legislation. Kids, back down the mines.
Yeah!
Kids, back down the mines.
Yeah!
Kids, back down the mines. Kids, back down the mines. I can tell you not all sold on that one, so we'll try another angle, okay? Equal opportunities.
Yeah!
Include the minorities.
Yeah! help to all the refugee.
Yeah!
We got the answer if you give us some authority. Immigrants down in the mines.
Yeah!
Immigrants down in the mines.
Yeah!
Immigrants down in the mines. Immigrants down in the mines. It's a tough crowd.
Stop talking about mines.
You give it a go then.
Help folks to reach some success. Recognize the skills they possess. It's time for us to progress.
Installing ramps for easy access. Come on, everyone, you all know the word. Disabled people down in the mines.
Yeah!
Disabled people down in the mines. Disabled people down in the mines. Disabled people down in the mines. Down in the mines. More jobs.
I mean, except going down in the mines. I really love that. I mean, for children are the biggest freeloaders on the planet. They don't pay any tax. They don't work. They get to fucking sit at home all afternoon. Because school only ends at, what, like 2?
Even
earlier.
So, yeah.
Even earlier than that. What are those children doing the whole afternoon while all the rest of us are keeping the economy going? Put them to work. They can learn to... solder computer equipment. They can learn to do I don't know, crocheting, embroidery.
Yeah,
there's stuff the children can do, but what do? They sit at home playing games or watching soap operas or sitting in the garden kicking a ball around in the garden. How dare they? While the rest of us work.
That's the last thing they would
Monday
do.
To Friday you work. Down in the mines. And of course, the children in the mines, the advantage there is they can fit into the small spaces to get out the last little bit of gold that is eluding the bigger miners with the big banana hands. You know, the big fucking burly miner with a forearm like a longshoreman and his Prince Charles sausage fingers.
Pork banger fingers.
He just can't get that last bit of gold in the mine.
Jesus.
But you know, little Abigail, age 5, she can scratch out that little nugget of gold. That's what's holding us back as a civilization. The Victorian workhouses. That's what we need more of. Big shed. Poor ventilation.
Yeah.
Women painting radium onto the watch dials and then licking the paintbrush and getting radium jaw. But no. Now they want to go to Coachella.
Yeah. That's right.
People wish they hanker for a better time. But, you know, if you've noticed, any of the buildings in our major cities, they just don't make beautiful buildings anymore.
No, we've discussed this actually.
The where bridges.
We look at the design and the laziness that comes to it with this whole
awful
minimalism.
Yeah, I know. And,
phase.
And you know, the designers get so touched, is the word, when you attack how crappy their design is and how everything looks the same. But I'll tell you, we hit peak sophistication and civilization long before any of us were born, somewhere in like the 1890s to 1920s. Everything was made, buildings, railway stations, post boxes, doors, windows, everything, cars, everything they made in that period was beautiful.
Mm.
There was a form meets function,
yes,
like very few things since.
Mm.
Sure, technology. You know, no one wants a 1928 laptop.
No,
I mean, you're not going to find such a
thing.
But there, everything that was around at that point did not get better after that point.
No.
Oh, my God, I've just seen it's 7:10. Do we need to take a break? You sent me a WhatsApp. Yeah, because I'm looking at my phone. Weren't we just talking about how people shouldn't look at their phones the whole time?
Yeah, we are.
James. Break time.
What time was that? 7 on the dot.
There's the bell ringing.
And we were talking about barbecue, bread or brown.
We were talking about
God
important and complicated things like brown or red chips and kids down the mines.
Yes. That's valid. That's good. That was strong.
Principal Flex has just rung the class bell, and that means we have to take a break, boys and girls. So go and enjoy your lunchtime and then back down in the mines straight afterwards.